The Glow. Have you ever heard of it and how to get it? Well, we're going to find out this morning.
Taj Paklav also takes us on another video journey, this time to the South Point, and John Peckham shares more from his series on Knowing God.
Come along with us. Good morning. It's a hope-filled morning here on Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us.
We are so excited to be here, friends. It's our desire that our program today will multiply the love that you have for Jesus and help you to share it with others.
You know, today is National Men Make Dinner Day.
That sounds like a great idea.
And just as the name implies, it's a day for men to celebrate the women in their lives by taking a load off their shoulders and making dinner. You know, honey, I can't wait to celebrate this one.
Me either. It sounds like a great plan.
All right. You know, and friends, we have so much more in store this morning. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1944, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt secured an unparalleled fourth term in office, making him the only president in U.S. history to serve more than two terms. Roosevelt rose above personal and political challenges as, at the age of 39, he contracted polio and thereafter was burdened with leg braces. Eventually, he was confined to a wheelchair. Do you ever feel like there are too many obstacles to accomplish all that you want to? Do you feel like you'll never achieve all that you can because of difficulties? Here we have an example of someone who rose above challenges.
Friend, as you face challenges today and tomorrow and the rest of your life, we encourage you to rise above the difficulties, rise above the obstacles, wherever they may be. There's one in heaven who has promised that through things, though things may be impossible with men, nothing is impossible with God. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you're wondering about, friends, you can do it through Christ, who will strengthen you. He has promised to give you all the courage you need.
Amen. Well, right now, Taj Paklav takes us to the South Point, Kalae, the most southern point of Hawaii, to discover the answers to life's most pressing question.
Between the Kona and Puna districts of Hawaii is the rare and beautiful Kau district. This southern territory of the Big Island is known for a lot of amazing things. The snow-capped mountains of Mauna Loa, the fierce and fiery volcano Kilauea, the beautiful black sands and the lazy sea turtles, and the tasty sweetbreads of Punalu'u. And then you have the glorious green sands of Papakolea, the wind farms of Pakini Nui, and then one of my favorites, the South Point of Kalae. The stunning 12-mile drive from the main road takes you through rolling green pastures and horizontal kiawe trees, pushed sideways by the fierce winds sweeping down the mountains. The South Point of Kalae is the most southern point of the 50 states, and it is here that you can experience nature's raw and powerful beauty. It is also said to be the place of the earliest of Hawaiian settlements. Being the closest of the Hawaiian Islands to Tahiti, Kalae would have been the first landfall for the ancient navigators of Polynesia. The ruin of ancient Hawaiian temples, cultural relics, and fishing shrines can also be found here. The convergence of wind and ocean currents at the very tip of the point make it a very dangerous but fruitful fishing spot. Ancient Hawaiians drilled numerous holes into the rock ledges to use for mooring their canoes, many of which are still being used by fishermen to this day. From the cliff, you can gaze out over thousands of miles of deep blue waters. The Halaea current that has the force to carry you clear to Antarctica was named after the ancient Hawaiian chief whose fate was a watery grave at this very spot. He was swept out to sea, never to be found again. Now, besides its amazing history and untamed beauty, there's something else that draws many visitors to the South Point, especially on a hot Hawaiian day like today. On the west side of the South Point are 40-foot lava cliffs that act as a shield from the strong currents and the fierce winds that are blowing from the east. On the west side, the waters are usually calm and clear, perfect for cliff jumping and cave diving. Now, if the waters are rough or you're not an experienced swimmer, stay on the cliff. But if the seas are calm and you've got the nerve, go ahead and take the plunge. The water is cool, the cave is clear, and the fishes are friendly. But make sure you take someone with you and that you're strong enough to climb this steel ladder back to the top. Now, over the years of visiting the sacred spot, I always found it interesting that on one side of the South Point, there are peaceful waters full of life. But on the other side of the point are dangerous currents that can lead to death. On the one side, there's calm. On the other side, there's chaos. On the one side, there's peace. On the other side is peril. One side is life, and the other side is death. You see, the paradox of the South Point is that life and death are often side by side, so opposite from each other, and yet so close together. Looking directly from the South Point, you can almost see a line drawn separating the chaos from the calmness, the peril from the peace. And whenever there's a contrast, there's a choice to be made. Which side of the point will we be on? This is the main question of life. It is a decision that we all have to make. For today, just like in the days of old, the Lord of heaven appeals to us. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. A divine line has been drawn, a clear contrast has been made, and a real appeal has been given. Now the choice belongs to us. My friend, which side of the salvation point will you choose? You see, there are at least two sides to every point, two ends to every straight line. And many have made their points in politics, scholastics, economics, apologetics, hermeneutics, and dialectics. But the point of all points was the one that was made at the cross. As those rusty spikes were placed into the hands of Jesus, on one side of that pointed nail was the one that held the hammer in his hands, crucifying his creator. But on the opposite side of that point were the hands that held the whole universe together. The King and creator of all, who came to this world of sin to prove the divine point of self-sacrificing love. He took our painful pointed nails, and in its stead he would offer us his pure and perfect peace. He died for you. Will you live for him? This is God's salvation appeal. So again, I ask you, which side of the South Point will you be on? There are two sides, but only one right choice to make. So go ahead, lay the hammer down and grab hold to the hand of Christ. Step out and take the leap of faith into the calm, cool, and clear waters. For there you'll be immersed in the peaceful ocean of God's amazing saving grace. And at the point of his second coming, we will then ascend upon the ladder of promise to meet our King in the air. And from the South Point of this world, we will head to the sides of the north where God's throne is, there to dwell in the paradise of the crucified, risen, and soon coming King.
When we return, we have another Grace Points episode, and later, Dr. John Peckham will be sharing a devotional blessing with us.
And if you're enjoying today's program, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. Friends, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for spending time with us this morning.
Friends, right now, Melvin Warfield Jr. is going to talk to us about the glow on today's episode of Grace Points.
I think science is really interesting. Now, don't get me wrong, I never wanted to be a scientist. In fact, I was never particularly good at science. But I remember when I was a child, my parents bought me this science kit, and it had all of the little ingredients in it and the instructions for doing science experiments and a little microscope. And I'd take it out on the back deck and I would do all these crazy things. But I think the thing that I did most consistently with it was just combining baking soda and vinegar in a test tube and acting like a mad scientist. And when I felt really sciencey, I added food coloring. And that just took my science to a whole nother level. But what's really interesting to me is the science behind glow sticks. Yeah, glow sticks. You know, those little plastic tubes, you snap them, and they glow. Interesting thing about it is the actual science behind it. There are two fluids inside, and when you snap that little plastic tube, the fluids combine in a chemical reaction that causes energy in the form of light. And that's called chemiluminescence. It's really interesting that these two fluids mix, they combine, and starts to shine. But it happens when it's broken. It only glows when it breaks. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "But you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Woo! I want you to get this thing, because this is exciting to me. Have you ever considered that you shine brightest when you're broken? Wow. See, here's the misconception. We believe that we shine brightest when we're successful. But the theology of the glow stick says different. The theology of the glow stick says when we are broken, that's when we shine. That when we're broken by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, when we allow God to break the sin, to break the ego, to break the hubris, to break the resistance against His Word and His will, or when we allow the situations of life to challenge us and develop us, that's when we grow the most. Because when we are broken under the will and hand of God, the mighty hand of God, that's when His character shines forth the most. That's when we see the long-suffering nature of God developing in us. We see His mercy and His grace at work in us. We see Him purging those old things out of us and renewing something new inside of us. And He does it by those moments when we break. And then there's the combination of the challenges of life and His mercy, of His grace and the pitfalls of life that cause this spiritual reaction inside of us where we're able to shine forth the light of God's character in darkness. And we don't just do this for our own benefit. We do it to provide light to the world around us. Because see, Matthew chapter 5 tells you in the words of Jesus, you are the light of the world. That means that God placed you where you are on purpose and allows the moments where you break and the mercies of God combine with the challenges of life to show forth His character to people in darkness around you. Because the people who are going through the same hardships that you're going through need to know that there's a God who can sustain them, who can love them, who can encourage them, who can save them the same way He saving you when you break. Are you allowing the Word of God, the Spirit of God, to break you today so that God can use you to share His glory, to shine His light to the world around you? I pray that you are. I pray that this little light of yours you would let shine, and that others would see Jesus in you. So, looking forward to seeing you next week. You're always wonderful. This is Grace Points. God bless you.
It's now time for us to take a short break, but after the break, we'll have today's devotional thought by Dr. John Peckham. Don't go anywhere. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by John Peckham.
Can you imagine showing up to a basketball game in a football uniform, wearing helmet, shoulder pads, and all? That would be ridiculous. You'd be entirely unsuited for the game. What about showing up to a football game in tennis clothing, with no helmet, with no shoulder pads, no protection of any kind? That would be even worse. If you're going to play football, you're going to need a helmet and other protective gear. Without it, you're going to be in big trouble. Even more seriously, can you imagine entering a nuclear facility and being in the presence of dangerous radioactive materials without a hazmat suit? That would be a matter of life and death. Why then do we so often approach our lives without the armor of God? Why do we pray without realizing we are in a life and death scenario, with unseen enemies against whom we need the proper protective gear? Why do we so often neglect to seek God and to pray? Given the busyness of life, it is all too easy to neglect prayer. In this regard, Origen of Alexandria wrote this: "It is shameful that you sometimes eat twice a day, even eat three times a day, and all of you eat at least once. But when it comes to the soul, you do not give it its appropriate nourishment. Prayer is the nourishment of the soul." Petitionary prayer and the therapeutic benefits of bringing our cares to God stand side by side. Beyond therapeutic benefits, however, many Bible passages teach that persistence in prayer can make a difference relative to God's action and otherwise in the cosmic conflict. Praying in the context of cosmic conflict, however, requires that we have the right armor. Paul teaches about this in Ephesians 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, he writes, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Did you catch that? Our fight is not against other humans. Our struggle is not in the human realm. It's a struggle in the cosmic conflict, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Those rulers and authorities that Paul refers to in these verses are obviously not humans. They are not enemies of flesh and blood. Rather, they are cosmic powers and demonic spiritual forces of evil associated with the devil. We are not the only actors in this world. In this context of cosmic conflict, Paul calls for fervent petitionary prayer. "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf." This spiritual warfare is not like earthly warfare, not like the kind of wars that humans have that are merely of flesh and blood. This is a conflict of a different kind. It's a conflict over the truth and who to believe, in which the devil is always working as the deceiver of the whole world, the one who relentlessly wages a war of disinformation. Thus, Paul writes, "We do not wage war according to human standards, for the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Paul thus gives specific instructions for how to prepare for this spiritual warfare: to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes in this struggle, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now notice, this armor is suited for a conflict with an arch-deceiving enemy, the devil, who Jesus calls the father of lies. So Paul first calls us to wear the belt of truth. And this makes sense against the father of lies, whose modus operandi is continual deception and slandering of God's name. Here and elsewhere, Scripture makes clear that the truth matters far more than we often realize. Accordingly, Christ came into this world to testify to the truth and thereby destroy the works of the devil. And God called his disciples to bear witness to the truth. Second, Paul instructs, put on the breastplate of righteousness, highlighting the importance of goodness and justice, which are intrinsic to God's nature and to God's character. And it's this very thing, God's nature and character, which Satan slanders in the cosmic conflict. Next, Paul calls believers to lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace, which sets forth the truth in opposition to the devil's lies. Finally, Paul instructs Christ's followers, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here, Paul emphasizes the importance of faith, which functions as a shield against the devil's arrows designed to undermine faith by deception and slander. Paul likewise highlights salvation, which only comes by faith and the Word of God, again highlighting the importance of the truth in this epistemic conflict, that is, this conflict over what and who we will believe. Just after this, Paul urges Christians to persevere in fervent prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints and pray on my behalf. In all this, Paul urges Christians to be prepared to stand against cosmic evil with the armor of God and perseverance in prayer. In one phrase, Paul calls Christians to armored prayer. And in doing so, Paul specifically highlights perseverance in petitionary prayer, indicated that persevering in petitions offered for others, that is, intercessory prayer, may make a significant difference in this spiritual conflict. Paul elsewhere writes to the church at Corinth, mentioning how you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. As John Bunyan put it, pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan. We cannot stand in this world against evil without divine protection. But there is hope. God makes a way. He provides everything we need. So what are you waiting for? If you haven't done so already, put on the armor of God today and commit to fervently praying not only for yourself and for your needs, but for God's people and for God's work all throughout this world.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Peckham.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about us or share us with friends, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at the same time. We'll have a health feature on mental and physical health, another episode from The Incredible Journey, and Grace Points, plus a moving devotional from Pastor Mark Finley.
And if you enjoyed our devotional thought today, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides. And before we go, we have a Bible promise for you. And today's Bible promise says,
then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. And that's from Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 24.
Amen. You are far more valuable than any bird. You know, the Lord will surely take care of you.
Amen. Friends, we've enjoyed our time together today. We can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we continue on with this day with our hearts just truly reassured that we are taken good care of. We have a God in heaven who cares about us. You are the God who is able to supply all our needs. And today, Lord, we turn to you with a lot of hope in our hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.